Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servadidio, and I am your host, and I'm so excited to be here this evening. Tonight is the one-year anniversary that Insight into Healing has been on the air, and I just want to thank all my listeners so much for all your support and all your feedback. It really just means so much to me to have this community and the support that you all give me. Well, tonight's show is a little bit different. As you know, tonight will be the first live show I've ever done, so please bear with me because I'm the engineer. I'm going back and forth answering the phone calls, which means we will be accepting live phone calls. If you would like to call in, you can call in at 646-716-7250. The guest for this evening is one of my returning guests, Mel Novak. Mel Novak is an American award-winning character actor who is best known for villainous roles in Black Belt Jones, Bruce Lee's Game of Death, and Chuck Norris and Eye for an Eye. He's also known for doing all of his own stunts and fighting scenes. For 31 years, Mel Novak has ministered at four Skid Row missions, doing chapel services, Bible studies on spiritual warfare, counseled and prayed with and for multitudes. He also has ministered on the streets and has been giving Bibles out of his car trunk for 31 years. He's also given out over 1,500 pairs of reading glasses. Very impressive. Thank you so much. Welcome back, Mel Novak.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed the last one, and this one's even going to be better. I'm blessed to be on it. Thank you.
Thank you. So please tell the listeners, what have you been doing lately? Because I know you've been very busy with your acting and then also with the prison ministry.
Well, I've been going into prisons 29 years and Skid Row 32 years. And I've gone all over the country in prisons and penitentiaries. In fact, I've been at the Pelican Bay in Crescent City. It's like the worst penitentiary in the country. I've been there 9 times. It's very fruitful. From January 2013... up to last night, I had 72 inmates in the service. I did a two-hour sermon, and all 72 prayed a sinner's prayer. You know, we live in a fallen world, and evil lurks everywhere. And where God opens the doors, I go. It's just been incredible. But there's like the last 2 years is revivals happening in the prisons. You got 92% to 97%, you know, either rededicating their life or giving their life to the Lord. It's just, it's an awesome thing to see. I'm always in awe of God, what he does. Today I was at the Skid Row. I got home at 10 to 4. And it breaks your heart to see broken people, have nothing, homeless. So anybody listening, you know, count your blessings. You have a home, you have a car, you have a job, you have a mate, you have all these things, and you're free of drugs and alcohol. And these are times where we got to just thank God. I tell you, praise is a weapon against the devil. And I know when I go into the prisons, I have to sign a paper. If I'm taken hostage, they don't make deals. And but they know me. They know that I don't have fear, because we don't serve a God of fear. We've got a love, power, and a sound mind, in 2 Timothy 1:7. Fear is the devil's number one tool, and doubt the killer of faith. And I just see so many. You know, and your ministry of healing is for anybody. And we need to believe it can be done. And you know, I should have been dead 6 times. I never did drugs, never did alcohol, so it has nothing to do with that. I've had 27 surgeries. I've been crippled 5 years from pro ball, baseball. It's like, not if you're going to go through something, when and how hard you're going to get hit. And what are you going to do with what happens? Because too many people, you know, they're blame everybody, blame God. And the question is, why do we blame everyone else? You know, we have to accept the responsibility of our lives. And, you know, we learn from adversities. This inmate at this penitentiary said, how'd your faith get so strong? I said, through adversity. And there's a difference in what I say or what I think, but we need to ask questions about unresolved conflicts, unmet needs, from childhood to now, unfulfilled needs. You have so many walking wounded, Alexa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, so Isaiah 51:1-3. And last night I gave this scripture in the service because, you know, Psalm 147:3, God heals the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. And I also gave him Jeremiah 30:17. God says, I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. Well, where's the wounds coming from? Who caused them? How long have they been there? Have you taken it to the Lord? 1 Peter 5:7. What are you doing with it? Because the danger is it'll turn into a root of bitterness, which will defile you in Hebrews 12:15. And bitterness is a poison, Acts 8:23. Poison by bitterness, bound by iniquity. And, you know, I deal with so many people who are broken, but people who are broken are trained to reject joy. And most times they're bankrupt spiritually, mentally, and emotionally.
What do you mean that they're trained to reject joy? How do you feel that they're trained?
Well, from all people's negative words, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many have I met where they were told, you're stupid. I hate you. I wish you weren't born. You're nothing. And that, when you feel even your family doesn't love you, there's a brokenness, there's rejection, abandonment, betrayal. And the joy is like a needle. Yet Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is the strength of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And people need acceptance. And people always need a touch of love and forgiveness. And forgiveness is the key to healing. You know that. You know,
yes.
With your, yeah. And unforgiveness is a prison. Yet you have people. Go ahead.
Well, you spend so much time with the anger, with the bitterness, and it's understandable. Yes, it's upsetting when someone does you wrong. But I think sometimes when you hold on to it for too long, it starts to eat you up, and it starts becoming your life and defining you, and that's when it becomes very toxic in every area of your life.
Exactly. And when people concentrate on the negative, they reinforce it. I'm always giving up Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things be added unto you. And I get these people who never even heard of that. You're very good at in what you do to ask questions. Ask questions,
yeah.
And then that'll be the beginning journey to healing and wholeness, you know. And I always say, what painful feelings bother you still? See, people, denial is another deadly deed. I have a sermon that I do that when people don't have their spiritual armor on, Ephesians 6:10-17, which is a command in verse 11, it's a spiritual armor. It says, above all, put on your shield of faith. Quench every fiery dart in verse 16. Well, the darts become arrows, spears, and missiles. And when your shield isn't up, they get hit with, I call the deadly D's, disappointment, discouragement, doubt, discontent, despair, despondency, disillusionment, demoralization, dejection, depression. Depression's real. I see it. I see these young inmates attempt suicide. Some of them make it. And it's important to understand, unless you dig in the past, you know, who was it that constantly put you down and made you feel like you have no worth or value? Alexa, I've heard it all over the country in penitentiaries. Brother Mel, I have no, 7 lies from the devil. I have no worth, I have no value, I'm a failure, God doesn't love me. Nobody cares. I'm inferior. I'm inadequate. That's not what God says. Jeremiah 29:11. I don't thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Give you a future and a hope. I saw people today that had no hope. Hopelessness, most devastating emotion in the world. And
yes,
you got to encourage. Like you and I have that blessed hope of Christ's appearance in Titus 2:13. That's where the security is. That's where peace comes from. And so, you know, I ask them, how do you avoid feeling this pain? So what they do, there's a lot of critical people around them. And, you know, I played villains in movies. I played assassins, hitmen. The tongue is like an assassin's bullet. I've said that many times. And words hurt. You know it and I know it.
Yeah.
Can't take them back. So and some there was a inmate at Pelican Bay. His mother cursed him when he was in her belly. I wish he'd die. And then he gets born, and she said, this poor guy, he had no worth or value whatsoever. Finally, he went out and robbed the bank. He got 56 years. He came to the service that I did in Pelican Bay, and he came up after. He prayed a sinner's prayer. He says, nobody ever told me that God loves me or anybody. I never heard anybody love me. Is that sad or what?
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a lip service.
Yes. How do the inmates respond when you first walk in? Because I know a lot of them probably know you from your acting career and all of that, and then have you come in doing the ministry. How do they respond?
Well, they see that they know the background that I've done. I've done a lot of movies, 25-star and co-starring, and I'm always dressed up, really. When I go into the prisons, the Skid Row, I don't. I wear denims. But I wear two-tone shoes. I'm old school. And they really respond to that. But they see, you know, I have a humble spirit because of what God allowed me to go through. I've been broken several times in my life. That's why I have a love and compassion for the people. And when I start ministering, I'm always encouraging, edifying, uplifting. And I use 100 to 150 scriptures in every message. I back every single thing. That gets their attention. Now, I don't talk about movies. I never brag about those things. Because it doesn't matter what somebody did. I don't make them better than anybody. So I let them understand that. And God gives me favor with these people. I mean, I've led people to Christ who murdered people. They repented. Without repentance, there's no salvation. And so many people believe that they have no worth and no value. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And when I get them to understand that, and so like last night, I says, I want every one of you to say out loud as you can, I am not a failure. I says, from Adam and Eve to right here, me standing, we've all failed in something, does not make you a failure. See, once I turn that brown in their head, now they could build on that. They have worth and value. And wherever I go, you know, sure, the acting opened up doors, but what really gets their attention is when I back everything up with verse and scripture. And see, God's word is so powerful. The word of God was like a laser to pierce the darkness. But the devil, he's slick. You've got billions of Bibles in the world, most of them collecting dust. How will you find those scriptures to apply to your need if you don't spend time in the Word? And God will speak to you through the Word. There's healing in the Word. There's blessings in the Word. Everything imaginable. And His promise is a yes and amen in 2 Corinthians 1:20. People will talk out of both sides of their mouth, lie to you, look in the eye, and lie to you. God can't either. See, he can't lie, break a promise, or a covenant. Hebrews 6:18, Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2. And God's will is doable. You can see God's will. And carrying out God's will, but that requires a heart that trusts him. Am I going to trust him? It requires a soul that will step out in obedience. See, you want to get blessed? Be obedient. 1 Samuel 15:22, God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. But it also requires a mind that literally, if we understand we're a child of God and he could change things, nothing's impossible, Luke 1:37, nothing's too hard, and Jeremiah 32:17-27. You know, when we got to leave success or failure to him, then we can experience the joy of obedience. And God always blesses obedience, my goodness, no matter what degree. And but see, the devil's slick because the mind is his playground. It is literally where people lose the battle. I see it. Some of the ones that try to commit suicide and they didn't die, why? Well, I'm lonely. Well, you're lonely for a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. It has nothing to do with religion or denomination. And now, here's some questions you need to ask. yourself. You got to be careful of that lying, seducing, deceiving spirit in 2 Timothy 1:7 1 Timothy 4:1-2. It's a lying, seducing, deceiving spirit, and it's really important because you know yourself how you have your the people that you work with in your business to bring healing. They're beaten up, totally beaten up. And here comes those deadly D's, and denial is one of the deadly D's. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. Then what are you doing back in prison? What do you mean you're good? And I'm able to talk to them in a way other people would be afraid. They know I'm not being critical or judgmental. You correct somebody.
And that's the
kindly,
difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. You're not critical. You're not judging. You actually have good intentions, and you want them to succeed. You want them to improve. So it's different than being a critical spirit and putting them down and trying to keep them down. It's questioning to bring truth, to bring healing, to have them see that there is hope. But you need to do something. You need to start healing. You need to start processing what you've been through.
Exactly. And you know, I'm not one of those ministers who's a screamer. I have a gentle spirit, and they know. I look them right in the eye, and I say, this is what you need to do. You can do it. I'm always encouraging. Last night I said, you know, Philippians 4:13, I made him say it out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm always encouraged. Discouragement is the devil's most worn-out tool. A very effective, very powerful tool. And there was an inmate last week, a big dude. Here he was crying. I told him, Psalm 56:8, God counts your teardrops and puts them in a bottle. You know, David, I love David in the Bible. He was just, you know, in Psalm 69:3, David said, I am weary of crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail. Will I wait for my God? It's the hard thing. We got to wait. You can't put God in a time box. Sometimes there's no more tears to cry. You know, sadness remains, but waters dry up. It's the calm after the storm. And when we make sense of it, then we need to express what's going on inside, the emotions and whatnot. King David always did that. He started out at the beginning of the psalm really struggling because he went through a lot of stuff. But at the end, he had those periods of intense joy. And I know he had excruciating heartaches too, like we all do. But in moments of desperation, David learned the value of a purging cry. I've given out Psalm 30, verse 2, probably 2,000 times. Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried out, God heard him, saved him out of his trouble. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open to their cries. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, God hears them, deliver them out of all their trouble. But Alexa doesn't say when. This is the hard part.
Yes.
Luke 18:1, don't you give up, you keep on praying. So that's the key to see where somebody, what they're going through. And, you know, it's amazing. You can see some of these guys, they're in high down, and they're facing 200 years, 300 years, and they're walking around like a rooster in a hen house. Yo, bro, what do you do with that pride? God hates pride. But that's it. We all have choices in life. There's choices every single day. And these are the days we need to make that choice. Eternal life, eternal death. It's very simple, very simple choice.
And I think what you said about it's the waiting. And I know sometimes, you know, things don't get better overnight. Sometimes they do, but most of the time it's time. It takes time. It's a process. And I think people get frustrated. People get resentful. They get hopeless and get nervous about, you know, why isn't something happening? I think those are the times to really make sure you know the choices you are making. You know, you're not making choices out of desperation, out of anger, out of anxiety, that you can kind of take a step back. And I always tell my clients, if you're in an argument or if you're in a very emotional turmoil, that isn't the time to make a big decision. Wait the next morning, wait a couple of hours, because sometimes you make rash decisions based just on your emotional status and not really from a real grounded place.
Yeah, because that's when a disaster comes. I've given Psalm 32:8 probably over 3,000 times. It's a perfect scripture for anybody out there that needs really direction, good direction from God. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. It is absolutely incredible. But before you make a decision, you need to pray about it. You can't just be like Alexa said, be rash and do something. And nothing ever changes if beliefs don't change. So I just think I always encourage them as inmates, don't invest time and pain and energy to avoid the pain and defend your false beliefs. It's time you start standing against the wiles of the devil. Paul tells us that three times in Ephesians 6:10-17. And you're in New York, I'm in California, walking wounded everywhere.
Yes.
It's just,
yes.
There's an actor, I'm not giving any names, everybody would know him, big actor, got millions, and he's a drug addict, an alcoholic, and he's suicidal. So he wants the peace that I have, but he doesn't want the Prince of Peace that gives it to you. And so when I told him, well, you commit suicide, this is going to happen to you. You'd be in Hades, Luke 16:19-31, burning up that flame and torment your spirit and soul. But Daniel stands at great white throne judgment, Revelation 20:11-15. There's no hope there on a way to the lake of fire. So it's always a choice. Well, he's not thinking about suicide anymore. He's scared now.
Yes.
But,
and I've done a lot. I've done a few shows on one of my guests is a suicide survivor and people who've been that depressed. And it becomes such a dark place that they've been in and such a place of desperation. But as I was saying in some other shows, having the support of others, having a team, the belief in God, having people around you and, surrounding yourself with healthy, positive people, or just having someone to talk to, if it's God, if it's a friend, it's that outlet and making sure you don't stay within yourself and isolate, because that is, the mind is a devil's playground when you sit there and isolate and just think and think and think, and you overthink, and then these thoughts, become very unhealthy.
You get involved with the confusion of your own thinking, and 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's not the author of confusion. Satan's good at that. It's like a grip that he has that causes anxiety, worry, fretting, stress, tension. The fears and doubts come in. It's a destructive tool that can grab hold of somebody that they really got to be aware of. Once you're aware of somebody, it's never the same. That's why discouragement is so powerful that the enemy uses. And, disappointment. Next time, whoever's listening, next time you're disappointed, change the D to an H. Make it his appointment. Get on your knees. Because here comes discouragement, doubt, the killer of faith, discontent, spiritual germ. By the time the spirit comes in, they quit everything. So it's really important to just take inventory. Like some of those people in the prison, I'm telling them, you got to admit, remit, submit, and commit it to the Lord. You got to tell the truth. And what do they? A lot of them, they'll nurse it, curse it, and rehearse it. Only God can reverse it. And he's just waiting for someone with open their heart. Lord, Lord, I'm struggling. Come to me. Help me. He's right there. God hears. He hears it all. And
how did you know you wanted to come into the ministry, and especially prison ministry? How did that come about?
Well, actually, Alexa, I was invited to the Union Rescue Mission as a celebrity. And I already had some miracle healings. And I had, after the service, sunrise service, where I did a prayer, they found out I was a Christian. And I had probably 25 street people that I was just ministering to, encouraging and telling them about, hey, when I was, they were going to amputate my leg, I was going to die. I had 7 tenths thread operations in 10 years. And They all at once they start listening. The CEO, Ed Holthaus, came to me. He said, "I watched you for that hour." He said, "That was amazing. Would you like to do a service?" I said, "Sure." So I did there. Then I started at the. They called me from the LA mission and the Fred Jordan mission. Then one of the guys in the program, spiritual growth program, just got out of LA County Jail, and Mark Maciel, who is a former, he spent time in San Quentin, but he loved Bruce Lee. So
wow.
This guy told him, he says, "Hey, we got this preacher over here, and he fought Bruce Lee in a game of death." Well, I go to the L.A. County Jail, and then this is about the time where I was married, and she didn't want me in ministry, didn't want me in acting, and she left us. So I quit acting for a couple of years to take care of my healing and my daughters. They were 7 and 10. And so they went to Mark says, "Hey, we're going, I got another pastor and ex-mafia guy. We're going to Rahway, New Jersey." That's a level 4 maximum security penitentiary. Penitentiaries in New York and Pennsylvania. So I went. And that opened up other doors. I've ministered in, like I say, Rahway, New Jersey, penitentiaries in New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, Alabama, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, Washington. I've been to Walla Walla 7 times. It's level 4. Oregon. I've ministered in Ireland. I went to those prisons. They're dark. And
wow.
It was like God opened the doors, Alexa. And I realized after that 2, 3, 4 years that was my calling. And I've done like over 5,000 services in the last 20, 21 years. And it's not easy. There's no paycheck, but God always takes care of my needs, not my greed, Philippians 4:19. And the incredible thing is that there's over 100,000 people who invited Christ in their heart are rededicated. And that to me,
that's payment enough.
Yes, and it's really humbling that he would use someone like me. And, you know, Isaiah 6:8, God says, "He's going to go for me. I'll go, Lord." And, I mean, doors opened. It was like, wow, only God could have done this. But see, I listened. Because we're all called to serve, Matthew 20:28, Mark 10:45. And people who have a calling won't heed it. And that's their mm-hmm. choice. Well, my choice was to really, really do what I was called to do. And, you know, I've been to the Academy Award 7 times. I've played pro baseball. I was with the Pittsburgh Pirates. My real name is Milan Marjanovic. And modeled with incredible models. I've on and on and on and on done all these movies. But they pale. All the stuff that I did there, nothing compared to going to places of brokenness and people who are POWs of the devil, prisoners of war. And it is a war, 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war for the flesh. So that's how I really got into. And, you know, Skid Row is a prison without bars. It's a literal prison. And it's violent down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were these 2 gals that are really nice gals, and I used to tell them, "Don't go with that. Those people over there are drug pushers. They're dangerous. Don't." "Oh, Brother Mel, we okay. We cool." Well, I guess they took their drugs and sold them and didn't pay them. And up on the second floor, they drug pushers found and put a bullet between their eyes and threw them out the window. That was a message. "Don't take my drugs and not give me the money back." This is the places we go.
And that's a whole other horrible epidemic is this war on drugs.
Oh, drugs. It is such a tool, the devil. I see these women in prison they smile, hi, male. And you got three teeth missing for it. They have, they take crystal meth. Your teeth fall out. And then heroin. I mean, dear. And I thank God every day I never got caught. I never got caught up with any kind of drugs. And I never drank. And I'm Serbian, and Serbians are notorious drinkers. I never drank. And I was around drugs in Hollywood all the time. Sometimes at a party you see bowlfuls of cocaine. Never went near it. Freebie.
Yes.
But that's how it is. Choices. We come back to that word again. Choices.
Choices.
My choice was, I mean, they, you know what they say? They say, don't bring that guy to the party anymore. He doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, he talks about Jesus. He makes us nervous. Don't bring him. So I don't get invited anymore to the parties. That's okay.
Doesn't sound like you want to go to those type of parties anyway.
No. It's always open season for people to talk. When they find out about what I do, they start talking and asking questions. You never know. It's just amazing the things that God's doing, but it's amazing how people are, I mean, they're like attorneys. This one attorney was on Skid Row. He lost everything. Cocaine just wiped his business, everything out. I went to this federal prison, and they had 200 Hispanics, 210 in a service, because they had shown my flyer around with all the movies and stuff. So that drew them. Yeah, you had 200 Pride of Center Spirit. Then I went later that night to, there were doctors, lawyers, bankers, in federal prison. And down in Fort Worth Penitentiary, there are these three old guys there, multimillionaires. And I asked them, well, help me to understand why you would do anything to jeopardize your freedom. All three said the same thing. G, the G word, greed. How much is enough? What would it take to satisfy your soul? See, in 1 Timothy 6:7 says, we came into this world without anything. The King James says, certainly we'll take nothing out. So I tell some of those rich actors, you know, tell, what do I need Jesus for? I got $10 million in the bank. I tell them, be no U-Haul truck behind your hearse. Can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, always a choice, you know. I've ministered in psychiatric wards. That's hard. You know, where their grief was so sharp, their pain so tight that they'd be gasping. They're almost crazy. And here comes fear and shame, and then that anger, what you talked about, they explode in their head and their chest. And then depression will swarm all over them with the deadly D's. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll say, this is it. I can't handle this anymore. And more than I could bear. And it just... they think it's all over. It ain't over till it's over. Amen?
Amen. How do you unwind, especially, I know we were talking earlier, when you come home from ministry and all of that, kind of detox emotionally? What do you do?
You know, that's a good question, and it's hard, Alexa. Last week I came home and cried. I just was overwhelmed with people's pain and all the stuff they went through, and I just sat there, and I live alone. My daughters are raised and they're on their own, and it was just a night that I just broke down, and there are times I have to just come home and I close my eyes and just relax and get quiet, because there's like a draining spirit of fatigue, exhaustion in those places, because it's all dark and negative. And sometimes I do well, sometimes I don't. When I come out of that juvenile in East L.A., these kids are 10, 12, 14 years old, 15, boys and girls. This 10-year-old kid followed me around. I said, yo, bro, what's those scabs on your wrist there? He said, "Oh, I try to kill myself." I said, "Why do you want to do that? You're 10 years old." He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. I love you." And I said, "Where's your father? I never knew him. Where's your mother? She's in prison." And this kid's in the system already, 10 years old. Those are the things that's hard for me to handle.
Yes. Yeah. Really takes a toll on you, and I think it's just so hard to see someone so young, but so old. I sometimes work with children that have been very physically and sexually abused. And to sit with them and have a session is, you know, they speak clearer and no more than some adults do. And they're, 8 years old. And it's just, it's so hard sometimes to grasp that someone that young has known such darkness.
That's an abominable thing that these people do to their children. I've counseled. I even went out with this one gal. And she told me the things that happened in her past. And in the prisons I go to, someone's a child molester, they kill them. Mm-hmm. When I was at Pelican Bay, that last time they put a man who was arrested in Pelican Bay on a Wednesday. On Thursday, he was dead. And they locked that yard down. And I wanted to go in that yard because there were inmates who prayed for me. They were lifers who prayed for me every day when I had that prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And then when I was healed, they had their hands up in praise and worship. I always wanted to go in and just say, "Hey, how's it going? You know, let me pray with you." And I never got in this time. I go every September because it's like $1,000 hit to go there. And it's, even though like 83% will never, ever, ever, never get out, you can still make an impact.
Yeah.
There was a... go ahead.
No, I think that's what it is. It's making an impact, and it's really, seeing the difference and seeing people grow or feeling hopeful. And I just also wanted to remind the listeners that tonight is a live show, so if anyone wanted to call in, they can definitely call in at 646-716-7250, because we're very excited as tonight is our first live show, and I think it's really exciting, especially to have you on, Mel, with all the different, wealth of information and expertise that you provide.
It all starts with love. You have a just sweet spirit of love. People need to know that someone cares about them.
Mm-hmm.
I have at least three or 4 feet high letters from inmates and people, skid row, whatever. You read one of them, you will cry. If you go on my website, www.melnov, like North, O-V, like Victory, AK.com, melnovak.com. Go on the testimonies. And it's like in June, I led him to the Lord in Pelican Bay. The thing, what he said, just really, really touched you. And it's just wonderful to see how lives can change. And
mm-hmm.
also, if you go to the warfare section, download the Arsenal Prayer, God's Arsenal Prayer. Alexa will tell you how powerful that is. You can download it, you daily. It's a command to pray your spiritual armor on. Alexa, tell them how powerful that prayer is.
Oh, yes. It definitely protects you emotionally, mentally, physically, and really releases, a type of anxiety or feeling, anxious or angry or sad. It really kind of gives you a sense of peace and hope.
Yeah.
And, letting it, releasing it to God and saying, okay, I'm going to move forward. And still go about, but I think you really need the protection and the prayers. Oh, I think we have our first caller. Hold on, let's see.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, hi, welcome. This is Alexa on Insight into Healing.
Hi, Alexa. It's Lisa.
Hi,
am I
Lisa.
Really,
hi,
how
Lisa.
Are you?
It's Lisa in Arizona. Am I really the first caller?
Yes, you're the first caller. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, gosh. I thought I had the time while I'm living in Arizona. I thought I was going to miss the show. First, I want to thank both of you. I mean, I'm sitting here with the chills. You've just given me goosebumps and making me feel really good. So thank you for the
praise
show.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I want to ask you something. You're
sure.
talking about God's going to guide me.
Yeah.
I'm losing my faith.
Sure. You're losing your teeth?
My faith.
Her faith.
Oh.
I closed the radio. Can you hear me?
Yeah, close the radio.
I did.
How do you mean you're losing your face?
I'm just going through some tough times right now. And
oh.
I just can't get a grip on it.
Okay, download that arsenal prayer number one. So you'll have your whole armor on, and then you'll have a hedge of protection in Job 1:10, angels around you in Psalm 34:7. I guarantee you things will change because you got to be prayed up, suited up, and booted up every day. Because it's a war, 2 Corinthians 10:3. Would
yeah,
you do
right.
that?
I'm going to. I wrote it down. I'm going to go
Good.
To the website.
Good. And you know, right. Psalm 32, I gave Psalm 32:8 for direction, but Psalm 32:10 says, many sorrows be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Have you ever invited Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior?
Yes.
When did you do that?
And my whole life, but...
Well, you know, I think it would be good for me to lead you in a prayer because everything you've done from this point back would be washed clean.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your choice. If you want me to do it, I'll lead you right now.
No, what do you mean? I don't understand.
I can lead you in the prayer where you can, since you said you've done it before, it's not you don't do it every day.
No.
You're inviting Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior, which has nothing to do with religion or denominations.
Right.
If you'd like me to lead you in that prayer, we could do that.
Yes, I would. Thank
okay.
You.
Now repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I come to the name of Jesus.
I come to the name of Jesus.
You said in your word.
Said your word.
If I confess with my mouth. If I confess with my mouth.
That confess with my mouth.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
And believe in my heart.
And believe in my heart.
That you raised him from the dead.
You raised him from the dead.
I will be saved.
I will be saved.
I'm doing that now.
I'm doing that now.
So I know I am saved now.
Try.
I know I am saved now.
I know I am saved now.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask forgiveness of my sins.
I ask forgiveness of my sins.
And I repent of my sins.
And I repent of my sins.
And I thank you and praise you.
I thank you and praise you.
That I have eternal life here and now.
I have eternal life here and now.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, your name is written in the book of life. It's Revelation 20, verse 15. So that if your name
Thank
is not
you.
Written in the book of life, you spend eternity like a fire. So you download that arsenal prayer.
I will.
Get a Bible and start spending time in the epistles and psalms. And it'll really change things.
I will. Now, I got to just tell you the funniest thing. My phone is beeping with my chill. The person in my life that's very, I call her very holy. She's like a mom to me. And she's
good.
Calling in right now, and she makes me feel so good. And she helps everyone in the Yucatan. She goes to help the poor people, and she's just calling while we're talking on the phone.
Wow, praise the
oh,
Lord.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. So I'm going to go because I have to talk to
her. Okay, thank you for calling.
But thank you so
thank
much.
You.
God bless you.
Thanks. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was good, Alexa.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yes.
That was definitely amazing. I think, you know, it's when people are going through such a hard time and they're feeling discouraged, they're feeling, you know, what else is
yeah.
going on, and feeling overwhelmed to have
yeah.
someone to speak to reach out. And I think, you know, this is so amazing. What I've wanted to do with this show is have this be a place where people can call in, where people can feel, you know, comfortable and safe to say how they're feeling and to be vulnerable. and to be able
yes.
to leave with something, with a sense of peace or a sense of hope, which is really amazing, you know, just paying it forward.
Yes, amen to that. So true. And, yeah, that was wonderful. That was a divine appointment for her. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
what we were talking about really ministered to her. She said she was getting chills. Well, that's the
yes.
Holy Spirit, you know?
Yes. And I think it's great, too, what you were saying before. It's not any one religion. It's not you have to be one
no.
denomination. It's believing in a higher spirit, believing in your God. And having boundaries, having, you know, there has to be guidelines. There has to be, you know, a way of living. It has to be morals and integrity.
Yes. Now, in Acts 4:12, it says, there's no name unto salvation that man will be saved except the name of Jesus. No other name.
Mm-hmm.
He calls us his friend, and he's praying for all the believers all the day long, Romans 8:27, as is the Holy Spirit in verse 26. And this is when someone walks from one kingdom to another, the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, and things start changing. Yeah, it's a battle. We're all in the war. And it's like I tell people, you know, it's not what happens to you. It's what are you doing what happens to you is what counts. It's like
mm-hmm.
the attitude. How do you deal with a circumstance, condition, situation? Well, God has his handprint on us. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11. And, you know, what we got to focus on eternity, the things above, Colossians 3:2, and the eternity in our hearts. And the heart always precedes the action. And
yeah.
what are the attitudes? That's what I tell them. You know, where's your attitude? You know, this one inmate is ragging on God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to church? Don't lie. Oh, 13 years ago. Oh, really? Well, when's the last time you prayed? Probably 15. When's the last time you spent... See, you're ragging on God. You wonder where God is. He's always there. But now you want out. If I don't do it, get me out of here, prayers. I will not do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get in God's way. He might have something that they need to do. See?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the one who saves us from our sin. The Son of God is God. Second person of the Trinity. He was God in Mary's belly. He was God when he was in a manger. He was God when he was 12 years old teaching those Sadducees and Pharisees. He was God when he healed more people than we could even count. When he walked on the water, he was God. When he was on that cross, he was God. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Psalm 110:1, Ephesians 1:20, Colossians 3:1, Hebrews 1:3. When he sat down, his work was finished. And he's coming back. He's for every believer. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. He's coming back. We're going to, in a twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. 11/100 of the second. Phew, gone. And that's an awesome thing. And so we've got to encourage Alexa that.
People.
Miracles, the same thing. You know, in Job 5:9, God does miracles we can't even fathom and count. And Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus the same yesterday, today, forever. He hasn't changed. So whoever is a candidate for a miracle listening, don't you give up and don't you believe that God can't do it or won't do it. He wants to do it for you. But don't listen to the negative devil that God can't and won't. I mean, I pray for people who had terminal cancer, they got healed. I prayed for others, they went home with the Lord. It's prayer.
It's powerful.
Prayer is more powerful than an atomic bomb. Prayer invades the impossible. And it's time to weep.
It's amazing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm just so thankful that this was the 1 year anniversary show, that this was that you were able to join me, and then to also have our first live show and get our first caller. And I think it was such a moving phone call too. But I do have one question I have to ask you before we come to an end.
Sure.
And I know it has nothing to do with ministry, but I've always been wondering, what was it like to work with Bruce Lee?
Well, there'll never be another Bruce Lee. You know, he was he was, you know, that's it. People call out a lot of people who try to be like him never will. I met him when he was doing Green Hornet. And I was there on a set, and he looked at me and smiled and says, "You got a villain's face." I said, "I know." Little did I know that I'd be the villain in A Game of Death. It's like I play Stick the Assassin. And you can even see it on Netflix. But it was Robert Klaus who directed me. I worked for him in Black Belt Jones, and I had a great role. And that's when he took me, because I had to do this fight. The fight was 8 at night to late in the morning. It was a long night. But, I knew his son, and it's tragic how he died. I knew his wife, Linda. I met them at the 10-year anniversary of his death, Columbia Studios. I was the only one that they invited from the Game of Death. And it was a precious family, but tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
He
I
was
know.
Too young. Yeah. And everybody, I get stopped in the airports. I get stopped everywhere. They've seen that movie, and there's a lot of people say, "I know you're an actor, but I don't know your name." Like, if I feel ornery, I'll say, "Well, God knows my name, Isaiah 45:3. Or I'll say, "Oh, I don't know your name either. What's your name?" But,
What's coming up? Any projects? How could people follow you and see and get updates on what you're doing?
Well, I'm working on, I got one more day left on Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. I got a great role in there, co-starring. And then I got the script today for Syndicate Smasher. I got the main role. In fact, my title's above, my name is, the credit is above the title. And then Gregory, who's doing Samurai Cop, they have two more pictures to do back-to-back, and they're signing me for both of them. And the next one is a James Bond villain. I always play villains. And I've died like 19 times in the movies. But when I was in Atlantic City on that martial arts epic, The Ultimate... you had all the martial artists and the movies and stuff. There were two different groups that approached me to work in their movies. So I just said, "Okay, fine. When you get the funding, let me know. Let me know. I'll work it." And with Samurai, I didn't miss one day of ministry, because I averaged like 21 services a month up to 24. And like today, to be honest with you, I'm tired. But you know what? I'll get rested up, get ready for the rest of the week. And, I have that passion to win souls. And it never changes. It increases every year. And there's just nothing like it when you could encourage somebody. How many times I've gone to High Power Supermax, this one guy said, they told me, "Don't even go down there. That guy's crazy. Everybody's scared of him." I walked down, he looked at me, and he said, "You're an actor." I saw you in Bruce Lee's movie. I ended up leading him to the Lord. It freaked them out. They didn't think he'd ever even want anything to do. But this is how God works.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, you know, in Psalm 90, verse 10, we're given 70 by strength, 80 years of age, in Psalm 90, verse 10. That's nothing compared to eternity. But think about this. If somebody has 70 years of life, 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 in amusement, 6 at the dinner table, 5 transportation, 4 conversation, 3 years in education, reading, 3 years in TV. And if somebody prayed 5 minutes every morning and evening, they went to church every Sunday, all they would be doing is giving God 5 months out of 70 years. So, question is, whoever's listening, God's calling you. He wants you. You could have a piece of paper and a pencil, and start writing people's names down. You have an intercessory prayer ministry. Today is a day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Remember, tomorrow's not promised, Proverbs 27:1. All those times I almost died, the 3 of them were so fast, we don't know.
Yeah.
And You know, if you're in, if someone out there is in a dark valley, I want you to look up. Psalm 33, for you, O Lord, are my shield, my glory, want to lift up my head. You know, there's valleys of weeping, valleys of sorrow, hurts, pain, sickness. But with those valleys will come pools of blessings. And I want to encourage you. Blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to change your attitude to one of gratitude. And start praising the Lord anyhow. There's power there. And trust Him.
Yes.
And just, we don't know when we're going to get blessed, but this is a new year, 2015. I want to encourage you to start believing for God to bless you and deliver you and heal you. Because remember, I gave you the scriptures. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's too hard. He's a God of the second chance. He builds on ruins. Please don't give up. He didn't give up on you. Trust him.
Yes.
I'm a living... You think about all the times I should have died, been crippled. That was a hard time. And I was told that 97 to 99%, I was a world-class athlete that went to a cripple would turn to drugs or alcohol to numb the pain and medicate. I struggled, but God kept me from it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So,
and thank you so much, Mel. We're coming towards the end of the show, but I wanted just to thank you so much for coming on, and especially for my one-year anniversary for Insight into Healing.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been just such
it's so
amazing.
I really enjoyed our time together and the fellowship, and all your questions were really good, and the Holy Spirit worked from there. And just to the people listening, remember, nobody's turned away from the cross. All you can do is confess your sins, invite him in your heart, and boy, there's a journey that's coming that you'll just be so happy you had.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes.
Well, I wanted to thank everyone so much for listening tonight. If you have any questions, you can send them to insightintohealing@gmail.com. You can also go on Facebook to Insight into Healing and give us a like and send me a message. All names are confidential unless otherwise instructed. I again wanted to thank you, Mel, so much for being here tonight, and thank you for our caller and all of you that have been listening and supporting me this year. I really, really appreciate it. I'm very humbled by your support and all of your feedback. So everybody, good night and God bless.
Yes, amen. Good night, and God bless you all. Take care. Like.